Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Always a lot to get to. I don't know if I'm more fascinated by the NFL and what they did with Joe Mixon in Cincinnati, the Cardinals not taking a quarterback, Trump saying that this is a lot of work being the president. I mean, there's just a lot from the weekend. Fernando Rodney just coming out with a gas can and matches again. Boy, it was a great weekend. The Clippers being eliminated. Now Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are free agents. I'm looking over at the Suns. Do I want either one of those guys here? Chris Paul's going to make $24 million next season. For Chris Paul, there's just a ton to get to. Well, Paula with us today. News and notes with Paula Bovin. I think we have to change the title of that segment. I'll bring Eric in here in a minute. Your camera's good, right? You good to go? If you are, just jump on in.
I think so.
Yeah, if you're good to go.
We're always game time decisions when it comes to shows, cameras, life.
Do we do we refer to Paula now as the professor?
We can.
Because she's
done.
I still think
News and Notes is apropos for a title.
News and Notes with a professor. So, you know, we had lunch a couple weeks ago.
In class with Paula Bovin?
In class. Upper class?
Kind of like in class. Or class and session with Paula Bovin.
The graduate?
The graduate.
I don't think she'd like that
I don't think she would either.
We had lunch a couple weeks ago, and I said, you know, you're busy. Can you do this? I love having Paula on the show. She's been a Monday guest for better part of 20-plus years here in Arizona outside of the TV time, and even back in Southern California. Paula in Southern California would kill it. She had a daily show, and she would come on at 10 a.m., just like we're doing, and she'd have all this stuff from UCLA and USC. She was so dialed in, and it caught some people by surprise. I saw the news that she's no longer there, so it's the professor. We'll run some of these by her. Let me write down the graduate. I don't want to forget that. I think that's pretty good. What is on your plate today? What are the things that, from the weekend? Where should I start?
Oh, you can start, I guess, with the Cardinals draft. I think that's interesting. But I did watch most of that Clippers Jazz game, and that was sort of like the old horse being taken out to pasture. Yeah. You could kind of see the writing on the wall, and the Clippers just looked like they were defeated even before that game even started.
Yeah, I mean, Doc Rivers is the president of basketball ops over there. I would think that if you're Steve Ballmer, first of all, I'm looking at moving the team to Vegas. That's what I'm doing if I'm Steve Ballmer, one. Two, I'm wondering if it's time to just clean house over there. It's gotten to that point.
And the reality of the situation, Brad, was even if they beat the Jazz, they weren't beating the Warriors. So let's just call it the way it is.
Do we do letter grades on the Cardinals draft? I hate that.
No. I don't think so.
I mean, there's some things around the draft that they did this weekend. I thought
they helped themselves in quite a few areas.
Sure. This was one of those. This is a very solid meat and potato draft. There's not much here in the way of, wow, that's a sexy pick. Wow, that's a sexy pick. There's the usual, they find somebody in the 98th pick overall out of Grambling State who people are like, who the heck is this? And they've shown the propensity that more often than not, they're going to hit on that guy.
Yep.
It's going to work. But, you know, the big elephant in the room on this one, or no elephant, is they didn't take a quarterback. Now, they signed one in free agency, but, you know, draft free agency. But that doesn't mean that they've got this thing figured out.
And he's not going to make the team. I mean, if you watch Trevor Knight at all in college, he's not an NFL quarterback. He was a decent college quarterback, not an NFL quarterback.
Okay, so that means then that their plan is, if you're Mike Glennon, and you know you're going to be a free agent next year. Now, if we're the Arizona Cardinals, guys, roll with me on this one. And Eric, roll with me on this. They have to know through the agent world who may become available, because they're not going to be in a position in all likelihood to draft Sam Darnold next year, the kid from Wyoming, or Josh Rosen. Okay, those are the three. Yeah, quarterback from Wyoming is viewed as the best pro potential next year, along with Sam Darnold at USC.
So did Sam Darnold redshirt his first year at USC?
I
don't think he is in next year's class. If he played last year as
everything I've read has been Sam Darnold's eligible to be drafted next year.
Okay. I don't know if he redshirted, but I know you have to be in college for 3 years.
So that means that the Cardinals are looking at next year's draft again. I don't know. I've sat here for two straight years saying, guys, you got to get somebody here in place. I can't be disappointed or upset because Bruce and Steve have figured out the quarterback situation, right? There was the gap there after Kurt up until Carson that was just dreadful. It was the Derek Anderson. It was Max Hall. It was no fault of those guys on their own, but it just was an awful time to be following the pro football team here in town. Yesterday, I was with some family. We've had some family that moved over. And there's a whole bunch of them in the backyard. And they turned to me and they said, so what do you think about the Cardinals and their draft? And I gave them the usual thing that I always say after the draft. Hey, the day after they drafted Matt Leinart, 99% of the Valley was excited they drafted Matt Leinart. And he didn't do anything. So if anybody's sitting here today, so no, this guy can play and this guy can play and this guy can play and this guy... I think they're fooling themselves. On the surface, do I love the pick of Buda Baker? Absolutely. I saw Buda Baker because we don't just kind of roll into this in March and kind of pretend along the way. No, we actually watch a ton of college football, and we actually talk to people about college football. We do college football better than anybody else. We do it year-round in this state. So Buda Baker has been somebody that has been out there and on our radars. I love that pick, and I don't care about, wow, they gave up a steep price. You know, they had to trade up. And when they took Tyrann Mathieu, and a lot of people, when I say a lot, I would say well over 60% were with the, oh, man, they took a troubled guy. They took a troubled guy when they took Tyrann Mathieu. And the guy had issues off the field, sure, no question. We went through it. We read through it. But look at how that pick has turned out. Now, the knee injuries has nothing to do with what happened to him as he was growing up. That's a terrific pick by the Cardinals. Buda Baker is very similar. Deion Buchanan, very, very good physical player. Cardinals have found a way to stockpile on that backside. Bruce Arians and Steve Keim over the weekend, I'm sure most of you did not see this or hear this, so I think it's important to bring it up. Eric was out at the Cardinals along with Jordan. Here's what the coach and general manager had to say about Buda Baker coming here.
Buda was sticking out like a sore thumb, and, coach and I just looked at each other and said, we have a strong feeling on what this guy is and what he would bring to the table. And, again, his ability to play multiple positions and the passion that he plays with, you know, it made it certainly worth going up to take a chance. Some similarities to Tyrann, when you watch him on tape, you see the jersey number 32. You see the passion that he plays with, like Tyrann. Difference is he's a little bigger. He's about an inch taller, about 15 pounds heavier than Ty was at the same stage in their careers. This kid ran actually 4.41. I think Ty ran in a low 4.5. So there's some foot speed, some explosiveness, has the ability to play free safety, strong safety, play the nickel. His junior year, or I should say his sophomore year, he played more of the deep half. This past year, he played more nickel and some strong situations. But he is an active football player. He loves the game, and he's violent as can be.
And when you look at his tape, screens, the making people miss at that size, and running people over and doing all the things, and then you look at that 40-yard dash without his shirt on, you go, whoo, this looks like a linebacker. And not that fast wide receiver we were looking at on tape. I told him, I said, you already got a legacy that you got to live up to. When we had him on the phone. And I've always said, because you pick guys you like and you feel like this guy's going to make our team, he can do the things we want to get done. And so to me, it's always been easy when you're looking at that guy in the third round, especially wide receivers.
That goes into the Chad Williams pick, too, the wide receiver. So those two players are not going to bring big headlines. You know, Hassan Reddick is not going to bring big headlines. It's always easy the Monday after the draft to say, oh, this is an A across the board. It sounds good, reads good, sells some tickets, gets some people back interested in the team. Unless you're a Chicago Bears fan today, or maybe there's a couple of other teams you look at and say, wow, if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, there's probably a pretty good reason why your team isn't good year after year. They've gone through how many general managers, how many coaches, they did the clown show of Rex Ryan, sold some tickets there. They fire their GM. They fire everybody associated with the team. They've had turnover after turnover after turnover. The owners of the Bills also own the Sabres. They fired that general manager this year. So they've got two GMs in two different sports that they're trying to get hired. I mean, you know, out here, I think having a level of consistency. Remember, the Cardinals were an incompetent organization 15 years ago. They just were. They were all over the roadmap. And they've slowly turned things, and I think Michael has come in and has accelerated that. I don't agree with everything they do over there. They don't agree with everything they do over here. It's fine. But I like what they did just on the surface. The idea of troubled players and that the NFL is full of troubled players and guys trying to rehabilitate their image is becoming more of an issue on draft day. It seems as though to me that if you go through pick by pick, that you're going to get a good run of players at high character, high this, high that. But you're going to have a guy that sits there on the board, if he's a linebacker at Alabama, or if he's a wide receiver, if he's a running back at Cincinnati. You know, how do you walk in and explain, if you're a father and you're in a position of running an organization in Cincinnati, that you felt like taking Joe Mixon was a really good idea? How many of those guys do you have to take? That pick, Eric, it just was, I expected Mixon to go myself because we all know that talent takes over. But gosh almighty, if I'm in Cincinnati and every year I'm taking the Vontaze Burfict of the world and trying to Pac-Man Jones and just trying to explain it away. I mean, I'm serious. You just, from a community standpoint, you can't do that over and over and over, can you? Did that pick make you uncomfortable?
It did, but then when I saw he got taken by the Bengals, it didn't surprise me. And the Bengals just want to win. That's all they care about doing. They don't care if they bring in guys with troubled past. The Raiders and the Bengals, especially the Bengals, they haven't won a playoff game in forever. All they want to do is get to the playoffs and win a game.
But at some point, don't you have to back away from certain players and say, you know, this is optically, I get it. You just want to try to win the game. You just want to try to get out there and get the job done. But we already have a roster that has pretty questionable characters on it, and we haven't been able to win.
And where Mixon was taken is a bigger, it's a bigger concern to me than by who he was taken by. I mean, if he was taken in the fourth or fifth round by the Bengals, then I think we'd be a lot more forgiving. But where he was taken, not only was he taken high, but taken by the Bengals, who have had, like you said, Pac-Man Jones, Vontaze Burfict, the list goes on and on and on. That was the most surprising. And, of course, that got all the buzz. Like, oh, the Bengals. Of course the Bengals took Joe Mixon. Of course.
But, you know, like Jacksonville taking D.D. Westbrook, two arrests on allegations of domestic violence. The GM of the Jags comes out, and on D.D. Westbrook, accused of multiple domestic violence incidents, quote, many of us have been accused of things.
Yeah, and not a good look for Oklahoma, especially when you consider Baker Mayfield got arrested this offseason,
but ran away from a police officer.
And
I'm more about the Jaguars GM saying many of us have been accused of things. These are two domestic violence incidents. And You know that when you take that player, you're going to have to put that out there. I would just like to sleep at night and not have to worry about the phone ringing. I couldn't be in this league. Like the Michael Floyd thing when it happened to Steve. I couldn't imagine the phone call that Steve Keim got on Michael Floyd. And then as that whole thing progressed. So, and each case is different. I'm not saying you don't take players that haven't had things happen in their past. Don't get me wrong here. It just feels like optically the NFL and draft day, it's this red flag and this red flag and this red flag and this red flag. That's on my mind. ASU and U of A and their lack of putting players into the NFL draft. I'm going to talk about that on the other side. Also, some of the quarterback options. I'm going to get into the Diamondbacks a little bit later because I'm pretty much done with Fernando Rodney, and I'm just a month into the season. The team's only a half game out of first place. And back over are the Clippers, because I think if you're a Suns fan, you now have some players that are going to be free agents in all likelihood. I'm not saying you go after these guys, but I think it's worth discussing. And we're only 2 weeks away now from the NBA draft lottery. And Lonzo Ball here. That's next. Well, Paula Bovin coming up in about 11 minutes. The professor. We'll get a new title for on the show today. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. We partner with the Arizona Republic. We also partner with Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ with 14 airings this week. We're on after the Diamondbacks game because they're on the East Coast tomorrow night. So Tuesday night, Wednesday night, after the Diamondbacks play in D.C. against the Nats. A couple other draft things. So was it a good day for Todd Graham? And was it a good day for Rich Rodriguez? And the answer would be no on that, no matter how they try to spin it and sell it. Kids want to go to places where they get into the National Football League. Both Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez have been able to place players in the National Football League, but 2017's NFL draft produced only Zane Gonzalez being drafted and going in. I don't count the free agents, even though they have a shot. And it mirrors and mimics what we saw on the football field this last season, which wasn't good in any way, any shape, or any form. There is a good story up on our site over on sports360az.com about next year's draft. Next year, we've got to go to the combine, Eric, right? Next year, if we're already looking ahead on this deal. They can't be as bad. A, they can't be as bad as they were last year, one. B, I think there's going to be a lot of Sun Devils. I don't know about a lot of Wildcats, but there's going to be a lot of ASU players that are going to get drafted next year. Would we agree on that? Are you down on that?
Well, I think the big one would be Kalen Ballage, right?
Kalen Ballage,
he's got to be at the top of the list.
I got to believe ASU should be doing a small Heisman push for Kalen Ballage now. I did that a year ago, and Chris Cartman just got all over me about it. He's like, what are you talking about? No, he should be a Heisman. Just go roll out the tape of him scoring touchdown after touchdown after touchdown in one game and build it from there. Did you read Peter today, MMQB?
I did not see it, no.
So he was embedded in the 49ers draft room. Joe Williams, the running back at Utah.
Mm-hmm. Good thing he unretired from football, huh?
So here's the thing on that. They're in the draft. John Lynch, the GM, in the fourth round. Mike Shanahan just says Joe Williams. Peter's in the draft room. He looks up on the draft board of the 49ers. There's Joe Williams nowhere to be found. They had taken him off of their board. And yet Shanahan said he had some issues in college. He quit on his team, was his quote that Peter used. So Shanahan, quote, I'm telling you right now, if we don't get him, I'll be sick. I'll be contemplating Joe Williams all night. Bring this up because for you Cardinal fans, really interesting read behind this. And just if you're an NFL fan of how Peter had access here. But here's a team in the division and how they were not going to take a guy that was, he wasn't even on their board. John Lynch said, I had a really hard time sleeping the night before, and let me tell you, I was exhausted. Why? Joe Williams, quote unquote. So clearly within the 49ers offices, they had taken this guy off the board. Lynch made a point of telling everyone in the draft and the scouts and coaches of his vision statement for the organization. He has this vision statement on their walls. Football passion, do you love it? One. Contagious competitiveness, two. I love that. Dependability, quote, protect the team, end quote. Four, mental toughness. Five, football IQ, accountability to other players and themselves. Joe Williams was a tough one for me, Lynch said. And again, they're in the fourth round contemplating a guy who's not even on their board, but they're sitting there in front of Peter, microphone there, going through it. He was off my board, so when I got in the building Saturday morning, I had to call him. The thumbnail on Joe Williams kicked off UConn's team in 2013 for stealing a teammate's credit card and using it. Enrolled in a tiny Brooklyn college trying to get his football career back. Enrolled at Utah in 2015. Quit Utah's team in September 2016, telling head coach Kyle Whittingham, He couldn't deal with the mental pressure he was going through. Returned to the team at the coach's request a month later. So he quits the team, couldn't handle the pressure. The coach goes after him and says, no, you got to stick with it. They had three running backs that were injured. A month away from any physical therapy, any physical activity rather, he comes back, ran for 179 yards against Oregon State. Second game, set a Rose Bowl Stadium record for college running back, running for 332 and four touchdowns. What a hell of a story this is. It was dead, John Lynch said. No chance. I wasn't interested, but I knew how Kyle felt, so I figured I should at least talk to Williams. When I got in, I called him. This was Saturday morning. He calls the kid who's not on their draft board. Got him on the phone. I said to him, Joe, to be honest, I was done with you. And they talked. Lynch was stunned by Williams' forthright admissions. Lynch found out Saturday morning what he believed to be the root of the problem. In 2007, when Williams was 13, his sister died of a heart ailment. Joe Williams felt the burden was with him because on the night she died, he was with her and fell asleep when she was gravely ill. He was destroyed, distraught, ignored his pain, and as he discovered later, was bottling up his pain, which caused extreme distress. Diagnosed with manic depression, he told Kyle Whittingham he would do himself more harm than good by staying on the team. Whittingham understood, team understood. Long time on the phone, Lynch changed his mind. Screw it, he said to himself. I'm going to try to jump up and get this guy.
It's amazing what a little transparency does and a little honesty. The Cardinals drafted Chad Williams from Grambling State. We've already been over that. He was arrested for possession of marijuana and a firearm last summer, a couple years ago, when he was at LSU. Not on the campus of LSU.
Right.
And they asked him on the conference call about it, and he was so upfront and honest and, hey, I made a mistake, and yes, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but I need to act more mature than that. A lot of these NFL teams, if you just admit what you did, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're out of the doghouse, but it's that first step in sort of building that bond and that relationship with these teams. It's the guys that, oh yeah, well, I got kicked out of the combine, what happened? Oh well, it was so and so's fault, blah blah blah. That's how guys start slipping down draft boards.
Well,
because the Cardinals have proven, I mean, with Tyrann Mathieu, Brad, I mean, the Cardinals are just like, we're going to take this guy.
But
we know what you did.
But you got to fight through the BS factor of these kids, too. Because
and the agents.
I don't know how many times I've been in the, doesn't matter if it's high school or college kids. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Mr. Sesmat. No, sir. Yes, sir, Sesmat. That's great. You've been trained on to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and to look me in the eye. Got it. That's great. But then they go down the path and all the stuff they're doing, they're still doing. Or they're doing even worse stuff. And so, you know, you got to fight through the smile in front of media or in front of somebody who's actually taking an interest in trying to get them to get it turned around. And, you know, in this case, the Cardinals are going to play the 49ers twice. We may see this kid in the fourth round drafted by San Francisco, but it tells you about draft day stuff. And you got to drill down. If that phone call's not made, is that kid undrafted and who knows where he goes? I'm not saying the NFL should be in the rehab business, but they threw this kid a lifeline. They did. Really interesting stuff there. All right, Paula's next. And I'm going to circle back on the Diamondbacks too because it's just too good of a story of what's going on with them. Done a lot of draft, but we'll get to Paula and talk with her, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Hey, when you see the sponsors that are part of the show, please support them. They support us. Without their support, we're not here. Appreciate it. Going on almost 6 years now. Joined now by Paula Bova, News and Notes. It's always good to have Paula with us. We have what we call in the business a dry open today because I'm not quite sure how we're going to title Paula moving forward. We've kicked around the idea of the professor. We've kicked around. I like the idea of the graduate, but I don't know if that's going to make your eyes roll. Paula is there's Paula. It's always good to hear your laugh. You are no longer with AZ Central. Today is day one, life after. And so we have to come up with a name for your segment now. Do you want to weigh in on this or do you just trust us?
No, I don't trust you at all. So I will. I do trust you, but I would like to give it a little thought. So let me think and And I'll get back to you on that.
The professor, do you like The Graduate?
I do, except that wasn't that the name of the movie where the student had the affair with the older woman teacher? So I don't know if I want that label.
Okay, so we're going to get rid of The Graduate.
We better get rid of that.
Did we use Nutty Professor, Eric, or just Professor?
I really liked In Class with Paula Bovin, but that got shot down.
In Class with Paula Bovin. I'm writing these down. That's a long intro.
I'm okay with The Nutty Professor.
You're okay with The Nutty Professor?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
I'm going to put that down. So let's just do a recap here. Your final assignment was last night at AZ Central, where they had their annual awards for high schools, which is great that they do that. And you had the chance to do a sit down with Larry Fitzgerald. How did that go?
It went great, except for the first minute. I walk out on the stage to introduce him, and he doesn't come out. And I'm sort of standing there, and he was supposed to come out one side, but for whatever reason, he came out a different. So he kind of walks up and walks behind me and almost scares me.
Ah.
And then I drop all my note cards on the floor, which he picked up for me, which was very nice, kind of symbolic of who Larry is. And then the subsequent interview, which was about 30 minutes, I think went well. So
what did you glean from him in 30 minutes?
Oh, I thought, because this was a high school heavy audience, kind of targeted a lot of questions that way. And he was really sort of pushing them to sort of embrace what they're experiencing now. Because, it changes.
Sure.
College is high expectations and all the other demands. In the pros, it's all about, salaries and things like that. And his message was sort of embrace sort of the innocence of the sports now. And also, just his real, and it sounds cheesy, but his real love for the community here. He's been in the same team 13 years. You just don't see that very much in professional sports anymore. And obviously, they paid him well to stay here, right. But there's been some lean years when he was here, too, and he chose to stay. So he has a real fondness for the Valley, which was kind of nice, I think, for people to hear.
Paula Bovin, News and Notes on a Monday, as always. Your goodbye column resonated across the country. I saw people like Peter King put it in his column, and Pat Forty, and many others that were giving you a way to go. I thought it was terrific myself. Did it turn out as you wanted it to turn out?
Just funny how those things work. Because honestly, Brad, I was laboring about it Saturday morning as far as I didn't really want to make it about me. But you sort of have to address yourself a little bit in it because you're leaving.
But that's not you. That's not you, to your point. You don't like talking about you.
No. I don't find myself that interesting. but I had to do some of it. And so I just picked the journalism thing because it just bothers me that the stereotypes about the profession, and it's such a good profession. And so I just sort of went with my heart with that. And I'm glad it resonated with people. I wasn't sure if it would. It was, 99.9% awesome and great stuff, like you said, from around the country. And then the email I got from the guy yesterday who said the only thing that would make him happier would be to read my name in obituary. So
really?
There's always one, right?
Always one. Gosh almighty.
Always one, yeah.
But let's dive into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Since you and I spoke last week, ESPN blew out 100 people, very talented writers, primarily writers, too, from my view on that whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
You are teaching. I teach, but not like you. I'm not there every day. I'm going to teach again in the fall, and I really enjoy it. I still think it is an honorable profession to be in. But was this a blow to journalism from your point of view, or is this just merely corporate downsizing? They were fat, and they needed to be cut back at ESPN last week.
It was both. But it is, and you brought up a great point, Brad. I mean, some of the best writers were let go, the storytellers, the
right.
Dana O'Neills and people like that. And I hate to pick on Stephen A., but, I mean, that's just the one that jumps out at me because of his huge salary and his screaming at the TV set. I mean, it's clearly resonating with people. I may have mentioned this, but I'm overseeing a sports camp here for high school students. Students come from all over the country,
cool.
And they apply to get in, and the name they mention more than any other that they wanted to be like was Stephen A. And these are high school students. It really kind of surprised me. So ESPN, you know, they know something, but there's a lot of really, really good journalists that got let go, and that makes me feel sad.
See, the thing on it's not just Stephen A. Let's not forget that ESPN a year ago, less than a year ago, offered Skip Bayless $5 million to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, no, you're right.
So that's got to be put out in terms of the conversation. When I have students that ask me or people that ask me about, let's just use Stephen A. or a talking head that is in that mode of debate, front-facing talent, Stephen A. Smith didn't become Stephen A. Smith by sitting there and yelling and screaming. Stephen A. Smith was a respected writer, from my point of view, in Philadelphia. And then he went and got on a plane and went out to and covered the NBA. Then he went out and was on a little show called The Best Damn Sports Show and started to cut his teeth there. And then he went back, and then he went over to CNN. And so his path was pockmarked with stop after stop after stop. And now he's found this niche, which I think will give way to something else of a niche, because that's just how the industry is. Good writing will resonate for years and years and years. There's a reason why your column was so universally praised, in my opinion, because there is just not enough of that saying, hey, what we do is really good. Yeah, debate TV is just a genre over there. It's just a little piece of what we do. Just because he's out there and he gets a big salary, though, it does get the interest of kids versus what you write or what I talk about.
Yeah, no, you know, and I'm glad you brought up the sort of Stephen A. history, too, because he was very much a respected reporter. I mean, he was in the trenches. He wasn't just a guy that went on TV and was screaming. And so you're right. I mean, he has evolved into this job obviously, he's resonating with people because, you know, ESPN is paying him a lot of money to do it. You know, I don't know the answer, Brad. I think there's a happy medium, and these are conversations we're having even here at Cronkite right now.
Sure.
I think there's a happy medium about addressing what people want, which, you know, some of the best things, the biggest hits on our websites these days are lists. Top five this,
right.
Top 10 things to blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And is that necessarily good writing? No, but it's serving a need. So I just think there's some balance that we're all still trying to figure out in this new world of journalism.
Okay. You your view on the Cardinals draft and what they did there. The Riddick story is terrific, because there's so many other stories on draft day or the draft weekend that the Joe Mixons and the D.D. Westbrooks, like, what's going on here? But I would think, from my view, it's a very good draft. What's your view?
As far as how the Cardinals did?
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. You know, it would be an A draft for me, but there's still a little part of me that wonders about the whole quarterback situation.
Sure.
Now, you know, they felt like the high picks weren't worth it. And I don't know if I can argue with that. I think it just feels like a little bit of a scary world with the quarterback situation. But everything I've read about Reddick, I was so impressed. I went to that press conference, you know, and the Cardinals have been really good of sort of developing these versatile defenders. I think he's another one of those guys. Budda Baker, I've been hearing great things about him and, you know, help offset the sort of loss of Tony Jefferson. Even the Gremlin receiver, Williams, I think.
Chad Williams.
I've heard tons of good things about him. So, you know, I obviously haven't watched these guys much or at all, but sort of the people who do seem to respect what the Cardinals have done. And so, yeah, I think it was quite a successful one for them.
What do Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez tell potential recruits after this last weekend about coming here and we'll get you to the NFL?
Yeah, that's a tough, you know, that's a tough conversation. You can only sort of hold Zane Gonzalez up, you know, as a prototype of what can happen, only so much. I think they avoid that conversation or they go back a few years and point to that. But it's a real thing. You know, that's what players look at. A lot of them that are coming into college, you know, think they're going to get to the NFL, and whether it's true or not, they're looking. So that's a tough conversation, and the good recruiters and the good coaches, you know, find a way to sort of misdirect and change the narrative, which seems to be the catchphrase these days.
Okay.
And that's what they have to do.
Okay, before you get out of here, every Monday I would ask you, or most every Monday, what are you working on this week? Now, now, where do we go with this after 20 years? So what are you working?
Yeah,
what are you,
right.
What are you looking for this week? I mean, is that the way you go, or do you want me to go down? And what are you teaching this week? Or
no, I think, you know, I'm still very much feel like I have and will have the pulse of the sports community. I mean, that's still consuming me. You know, it's part of stuff I teach the students, that what I'm talking about here. But also, as we talked about, I still do some freelancing and things like that. So you can maybe not ask me what I'm working on, but what interests me or what's the big news.
All right.
You know, that kind of thing.
All right. We'll do that. Stay in touch.
All right. Good talking to you, Brad.
You too. See you later. There's Paula Bovin, my friend. In her new space, she wants to have, like, control, but she liked the nutty professor. I don't know, Eric, is that just too goofy, or you know that whole movie?
It's her segment, so she likes it.
The Nutty Professor, how do we do that? Jared, do we, Jared Nielsen, chairman of the board, the Iron Man here, he would have to go research, like, Nutty Professor and put, like, he's got this voice, this really deep voice.
Yeah, Jared has a good voice.
Our new intern has a great voice, too, but yeah, we need a camera for him. Maybe one day you switch spots with him.
Okay.
But the Nutty Professor, we'd have to go research the soundtrack to that.
We probably shouldn't use the soundtrack.
Yeah, that's probably legally true. That's probably true.
You never know who's watching.
But you know what? We could take some of Paula's old segments where she says things that are just kind of goofy and off center, or her trademark laugh, which is great. And we could put something together, I think. So, Fernando Rodney. I'm going to talk about that and the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are half game out of first place, and there's a lot to like after a month into the season, and some not to. We'll get to that next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussman. So there's some media news that's breaking today. Adrian Wojnarowski going to ESPN. Those of you that follow Woj, if you haven't followed Woj, he is the best insider. He's leaving Yahoo, going to ESPN. So somewhere along the way, it's a pretty good PR strategy by ESPN. They blow out people the day before the draft. People talk about it for a little bit. Draft gets in the way, and then Monday morning they have the splashy hire. So it's the way you do it. The Diamondbacks. You know how close, just how close they were to an 8-2 homestand? A couple were Fernando Rodney pitches. I just don't know what to do here if I'm the Diamondbacks. It's not as simple as put Archie Bradley in as the closer. I watched him melt down last week against San Diego, and then I watched him melt down over the weekend against Colorado. And it was Mark Reynolds, of all people, that ended up beating him on the game on Saturday night. If you're not familiar with what happened here, so it was just he came in, Rodney came in with the gas can and the matches without his glove. And the Rockies just batted him around. ZRA is like 11 or 12 now. He wears the hat to the side because people said, well, you're not on about his hat. He wears that in respect to his dad. So I'm not going to get on a guy about that. I don't know, and I don't care about the arrow in the air where that came from. Do you know, Eric, where that came from?
I do not. No, I don't know the history of it.
And I don't care. I just know it's a bad look. Please just come out of the bullpen with your glove and the ball and get the outs and walk off the mound. Because when you do this, as he did the other night, that's just, it's not good. It's two games where he's just completely, you know, the wild pitch here, come on. And that was not the first wild pitch he threw. I was screaming. I don't scream at TVs much because it's just kind of silly. It's like, you got to be bleeping kidding me. So, and I did say bleeping. So they end up losing the series to Colorado. Greinke pitches well again, well enough to win. Greinke has pitched well here in the first month of the season for the most part. He's done a nice job. But he had the 1-0 game in San Diego. He gives up one hit, big home run, and they lose. Pitched well enough to win the other night. Go to the bullpen. You would think they'd be able to get the job done, and they're not able to get it done. But they finish April 16-11. After all the gnashing of teeth that I've just done here, 16-11, they're a half game out of first place. Now, I don't know anybody and their brother after 27 games that had the Diamondbacks that close to first place at the end of April. So they're into this. And now they go to Washington, the team that has the best record in the National League, and then they go to Colorado. So we could be sitting here a week from now with a six-game losing streak, but I don't think that's going to be the case. There is something gritty about this team that I like. They are embraceable. You know, yesterday I'm at a family function. So our family members, two of them just moved here from California. They don't have their TV hooked up yet, so there's nothing going on. I'm sitting in a vacant backyard, and I'm on my phone like most of you. And I'm on my phone in the seventh inning. I'm on my phone in the eighth inning. I'm on my phone, you know, the little dots, doot, doot, little strike, ball, out.
Yeah, the little mini game cast on your
phone.
Yeah, waiting for someone to score, anyone to score,
pushing
please.
Refresh, seeing bases loaded with Goldschmidt up. Ninth inning, 10th inning, 11th inning, 12th inning. I'm hooked.
It was a good win yesterday simply for the fact that if they would have gotten swept in that fashion, and then going out on the road, that would have been a little bit demoralizing.
A lot demoralizing. Did you see where they all dressed up in Washington colors? I retweeted that.
No, I didn't see it.
I like that. They're all dressed up in flags for the road trip.
Oh, nice.
It was it says a little thing to me. It doesn't mean they're going to win. It doesn't mean they're going to win the National League West. It doesn't mean they're going to make the wild card. It doesn't mean anything other than I didn't see any of that the last few years. And I've covered baseball. I've been in that 162-game grind. If you don't have a little bit of levity, if you guys don't try to get along and try to like each other and have a locker room that says, you know what, we're going to dress up and go have a little bit of fun and take a picture of everybody screwing around.
Especially in baseball, Brad, because,
yes.
I mean, those guys are around each other all the time. All the time.
Yes.
They're on the road together. They're in the clubhouse together. They're on the field together. It's a little bit different than the other sports. You get a little bit of break and a little bit of levity. But
did I tell you a story about, if I did, I'll tell it again. I walk into this is 2001. And the Diamondbacks are obviously in the pennant race, and it's August. And it's like 115 degrees or whatever it is. And I'm pulled into the ballpark at 2 o'clock to go downstairs to go do my thing for another game. I'm doing the pre and the post of the Diamondbacks, and I like it. I like it a lot. We're in the midst of a great story. But I'm walking into the place where the players park, cross railroad tracks, you go through the security guard shack, and I'm walking along the back side, the south side of the stadium, and I start to cry. I'm just walking. I just start to cry. And I have no idea what's going on. It's 2 in the afternoon. It can't just be that I'm hot. It's not that I'm sweating. I am weeping. And I'm looking around like, what is going on? So I get inside. I wipe my tears away. I get in the elevator. I go down to the bottom floor, get into the dugout. I would do the pregame show in the dugout. It was a cool little setup. Just set up, and I'm sitting there. And Matt Williams and Jay Bell come out. And I'm just sitting there, and Matt comes over to me, and he's in he's not even in his full uniform yet. He sits down, he's like, "You all right?" And I must have just had a look on my face. I said, "I had the weirdest thing happen to me." What happened? I told him. I start crying, and he says, "Oh, you're just a baseball player now. Your body just, you know, you're so into doing your thing and the stress of doing this job, and that you're so focused, your body just had to release it. It's no big deal. You're just a ball player. That's what we go through all the time." Except they go through, you know, whatever it is, their substance of choice or whatever they decide to put in their bodies, different ways to relieve that stress. So I always took that conversation with him to heart that you don't know. I didn't know. You go out there every day and you're grinding away in the midst of a pennant race, whatever, after 100, it was probably like 130 games. Your body just says, I gotta release somehow. I have a ton of respect for that. The athletes in that sport, just no disrespect towards the NFL, but the games are every Sunday. Yeah, you go through a two-hour practice, that's it. You're not playing a game on Monday. You're not playing like 13 games in 14 days and getting to the ballpark at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or even earlier than that. And you're also not in an 0-16 or 0-20, or you didn't give up 7 earned runs in your last outing. You got to sit around for 4 days until you get another chance to prove yourself. NBA, yeah, you play one night in Phoenix. The next day you're in San Antonio. Now, playoff series are different. They're hard. NFL, it's hard. I get it. Football, it's hard. But baseball is just the grind that Eric was talking about. No baseball tonight. What are we going to do tonight? Is tonight a trash night on TV? It must be. There's nothing going on tonight. No, there's playoffs. There are NBA playoffs tonight.
I'm going to jump out to some high school football practices this evening.
You going to go do that?
So
got Spurs
my
TV Rockets.
Time might be a little bit limited, but.
Yeah. Spurs Rockets, Cleveland, Toronto tonight. Does Chris Paul or Blake Griffin interest you in Phoenix if they opt out?
Chris Paul of 2008, yes.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin coming straight out of Oklahoma, yes. Now, no. Hey, yo, wait, can you imagine if the Suns made a run at Chris Paul? Like, what is it? Just, you have Eric Bledsoe who might get traded. You're looking at Lonzo Ball. There's we're going to go get Chris Paul.
$23.5 million if he stays with the Clippers. Now, if you're Magic Johnson.
Yes. Yes. That makes a lot of sense.
That's what he's going to do.
I would think. It makes sense for both parties.
If you're New Orleans, don't you go back?
Have him come back?
Don't you go back with Anthony Davis? Don't you go back?
Chris, and I shouldn't say that, Brian. Chris Paul's still a very, very good player.
I'd take him.
But there's a lot of miles on those tires. He's played a lot of basketball.
Yeah, optically it looks bad that he's doing the State Farm stuff to me. You know, if you go do the Hollywood stuff, you better win. Instead, it's another year where they're done. They're finished.
Yeah, Doc Rivers might be done too.
Yeah. All right.
Who knows?
Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website that you can check out day in, day out, hour after hour on Sports360AZ.com. You may have been out of pocket for the last 3-4 days with the NFL draft. Plenty of video content up there. Of course, our television show over on Fox Sports Arizona. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, you can check that out as well. We are multi-platform. We are self-funded. We appreciate those that have partnered with us and continue to do so. Please support them. And thanks for you and to you for supporting us too. We'll see you tomorrow.